Right, hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen. I'm joined by Chris, as always. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty well. Pretty good. How about yourself?
You know, I'm hanging in there. It was a rough day for me as a fan.
I'm a Broncos fan.
Yeah, I'm sort of dead inside, but at the same time, I'm looking forward to next year. So currently I'm looking for another team to root for the rest of the year. Of course, I'll root for the Broncos throughout the rest of the year, but because I'm a good fan, but I got to find someone to get behind and really throw my full support behind. And maybe it's one of the teams we talk about today. Maybe not. I'm not really sure yet. What about you? How was your football watching experience and day in general? Did you do anything other than watch football today?
Not really. I watched, of course, the Carolina game. I just wasn't impressed today, which we'll talk about that in a little bit. And then the Cowboys, I watched them today. So that, pretty much watching football this weekend.
Yeah, good stuff. How'd your as far as picks go for college football, how'd your college football weekend end up?
I think it ended up about 500. I don't remember, to be honest.
A lot of big upsets yesterday.
There were a couple. I don't know if they were expected upsets. Besides,
I didn't expect Iowa to beat down on Ohio State that much.
That was the big one. That was the big one, probably. In my opinion.
Yeah, I feel like that, yeah, that probably, that was a big one to focus on throughout the week. So moving on to the games we have today. All right, Chris, so let's just jump right into the games we have, and we'll start with the Atlanta Falcons, of course, losing 17-20 to the Carolina Panthers. Some questionable play calling to end the game, and of course, a wide-open Julio Jones dropped touchdown pass. But for the most part, I was kind of checking in on this game occasionally via ESPN and Red Zone, and Matt Ryan looked good in this game. I thought that he really played probably one of his best games of the season.
Yeah, I would agree with you. For me, this game, Julio dropped two crucial passes, two crucial touchdowns. That's what the game truly came down to. Now, play calling was better than it has been, especially when they played the Patriots. So even over the past 2 weeks, it's gotten better, but today came down to the two drop passes by Julio Jones. I mean, that's the difference in this game.
Yeah,
the running game was kind of, it just wasn't there today. I know Carolina's defensive line is really good, which is would explain it, but the run game just wasn't there today.
Running game was back and intact and looking as good as it has, I think, probably since the Green Bay game. But
what game were you watching?
Yeah, I thought Freeman had his moments. I didn't think it was awful.
It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't what it should be. You can't rush for 50 yards in that offense.
Yeah, where do both these teams go from here? Because this was kind of a crucial game for both these teams, both big NFC South contenders. I think this takes I'm just looking at the standings here. This takes the Panthers to 6-3, the Falcons to 4-4. Are the Falcons done, or what's going on?
It's too early to say they're done because of the division so tight. The division's so tight, it's still two games. Atlanta's two games behind New Orleans, and they still have to play New Orleans twice. And they have two other divisional games, or three other divisional games. So you definitely can't say they're done, but it's not looking too great right now. The only thing that looks good right now, or the only thing that, oh, it doesn't really look good, but what makes the difference is we did see improvement in the play calling. It was just drops on the offense by Julio Jones. And I'm pretty sure Taylor Gabriel dropped one. It wasn't as crucial as the two Julio Jones touchdowns, but I don't think they're out of it. I don't think they're going to win it at this point. It just doesn't look like it, but I wouldn't say they're done. Like the next team we're about to talk about.
We want to talk about them. All right. This was really my cross to bear. So, Chris, I'll let you start with the question here.
Well, as you all know, the Philadelphia Eagles routed the Denver Broncos, and it was just an annihilation today. 51-16 or some.
51-23, but it was really 51-9. Both those touchdowns came in garbage time.
Right. Well, so what's your analysis of this game? What's your analysis of Brock Osweiler, and what's your analysis of the game?
Well, one, I think that I've been very vocal on this podcast, on my Twitter, on basically everything, that I did not support the decision to switch to Brock Osweiler. I thought it was an awful idea, and I ended up being right. He threw one touchdown in the first half, which was, to his credit, tight coverage. But in the fourth quarter, he took a snap, ran backwards about 10 yards, and I'm not sure what he was trying to do, but he just kind of, it looked like he was trying to throw the ball away, but it ended up looking more like a Hail Mary pass, kind of right into the middle of the field, easily caught by the safety. There were no Broncos receivers around him. It was basically a punt, but the Broncos were on second down, and it was awful. Like, every time he throws the ball, it feels like he'll throw an interception. Like, he was picked off twice. He should have been picked off at least four times. There were two very bad dropped interceptions by the Eagles. And it wasn't all on Brock. He had one good sequence, but the receiving core without Emmanuel Sanders is not
the field goal at the beginning of the game. Yeah. When they went up 3-0.
Yeah, when they got their ninth point, he had some nice deep passes, like one or two, but it wasn't nice and it wasn't good enough to make up for the mistakes that he made. So
he gets an F.
No doubt. Final grade, I give him an F-. He was awful. He was the worst part of a bad Broncos offense. Demaryius Thomas continued to disappoint. I've been saying this for a while. I've never really said it on this podcast, but in my writing, on my Twitter, in our DMs, Demaryius Thomas is not a good wide receiver. People get way caught up on the time when he had Peyton Manning and he was tearing up defenses. He's not that guy anymore. He drops easy passes. He's not as fast as he used to be. He doesn't break coverages as easily. And when he does, he can't catch the football. He dropped literally a 2-yard pass where he had 20 yards of open field in front of him on like a crossing route. It was embarrassing. The loss, I think that them scoring was 23 points made me more embarrassed, because personally, if my team loses, I want them to get annihilated. And they kind of did, but this score makes it look like the Broncos were in this game at some point. They certainly were not. Oh, really? I thought it does. Well, you look at this game. Maybe you think at some point it was close. It really was never close. Credit, but let's stop focusing on the bad Broncos, which I think they're going to start Paxton Lynch next week.
Let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, let's talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. Carson Wentz, I'll let you go, but Carson Wentz, he's my pick for MVP from here on out. End of story. I get that I might have been overrating the Broncos defense, but he torched an okay Broncos defense that had played well up to this game and made them look like an awful defense, and I was quite impressed.
Well, yes, and half of it comes down to how bad Denver is on offense, and Brock was just giving them the ball right back as soon as they scored a touchdown, and then it happened over and over again. But this does define this just definitely adds on to why he should be the MVP, even over Tom Brady, because Tom Brady hasn't had the perfect season. He's had a good season, but not the season that Carson Wentz has, and his team is 8-1. That will add on. The teams with the better record are probably going to be the one with the MVP if they have the better quarterback. It's just the way it works. It worked like that last year. Matt Ryan won the MVP because Atlanta went to the Super Bowl. That was half the reason why. But this was a really good game. I'm surprised that they annihilated them this bad, that defense, because the defense is legit. It's not the best. It's not top 10, but it's legit.
Oh, I thought it was top 10 going into this week. But
yeah, but now, it didn't look,
now it certainly isn't. I'd say they're like they might be top 10, but they're like 10 to, I'd say, like we say top 15 way too much. I think that's too low to put them. I think they're in like the 10 to 12 range.
Yeah, this is one of the things that we'll just have to see what happens over the next couple of weeks. This is one game. They haven't looked terrible up to now, but we know this Philadelphia Eagles offense is loaded. It is absolutely loaded. And then they added Jay Ajayi. I mean, it's just, this was a mismatch from the get-go. The score margin is about the difference between these teams. Philadelphia is miles ahead of Denver. When you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right. The one thing that really stands out and that you can pretty much define this game on, Philadelphia had to punt twice in this game. Like, it was, they got the ball, they scored a touchdown. They got the ball, they scored a touchdown. Jay Ajayi had a fantastic 47-yard touchdown run, was really probably the highlight of the day on offense, and that's saying a lot for as well as Carson Wentz played. Ajayi takes this offense to a whole nother level, and he didn't even play half the snaps. So I think as he gets more acclimated to the offense, I think we're going to see him have a 200-yard day or two, as he did last year. So,
I think
Philadelphia is pretty much unstoppable right now.
Yeah, which leads me to Brock Osweiler says the Broncos will not be discouraged by this loss. But speaking of losses,
you have to say that.
Yes, you do. But do you think Denver is completely done? And where do you think they'll end up now that they've got annihilated today?
Well, those are two different questions. Are they completely done? What do you define as completely done?
Are they going to miss the playoffs 100% sure, or 90%?
Yes, they're 100% going to miss the playoffs. They have an extremely rough schedule coming up. They still have to play in their division and the rest of the division, even though the Chiefs are taking a step back, and we'll get to them next. The rest of the division is stepping up and really catching up. So,
and then they play the Patriots next week.
Yeah, that's a game where I'm pretty sure they're going to lose, but I might pick the Broncos just because it's in Denver, and that's always a trap game for the Patriots.
That's why this is hard for me.
So I don't think they might – yes, they're done. Do I think – I've said before I don't want them to go 8-8 or 7-9. I don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's between 5 and 6 wins. I think they probably have 2 to 3 more wins on their schedule.
Their schedule is tough. I mean, especially the quarterback is half the problem, because when you don't have a quarterback, you're basically done. to be honest. You can like we should have marked them off at the beginning of the season because we knew we should have known Trevor Siemian wasn't a good quarterback.
Okay. That's crazy talk that we should have marked them off at the beginning of the season. Trevor Siemian looked great at the beginning of the season. We were right to be on the Broncos hype train. It just derailed.
I don't think we are because of what happened last season.
I'm not sure why it derailed, but I think, and I know I'm not trying to make excuses for Trevor Siemian, but
sure, yeah, I understand.
He injured his left arm in the Giants game, and really after the Giants game, he didn't look like himself. So
all right, so
I think part of it's injury, and part of it is the fact that I think losing to the Giants really deflated this team. I think they came in to that team way too overconfident, thinking that they were going to blow the Giants out of the water, and they got embarrassed in primetime, and I don't think they can recover, and I don't think they have recovered yet.
And they won't.
That's where they lost the season, basically. They lost the season at home in primetime against the 0-5 Giants, which is pitiful.
Which is fair. All right, final question about the Broncos. Who should they start at starting quarterback next week?
If he's ready, Paxton Lynch. I know that the Patriots do good things against young quarterbacks, but I think that the Patriots' defense, even though it's getting better, is still suspect enough that Paxton Lynch can gain some confidence from that game. If you think that it's going to come down to a coaching decision, and I'm not sure if I trust Vance Joseph's coaching at this point. I've heard a lot of things about people saying he should get fired. I'm not sure about that. I'm kind of leaning towards no right now. I think this whole collapse is more on John Elway and his lack of ability to find a good passer and really a good offense in general. As much as Broncos fans are going to get after me because John Elway is God to us, but I feel like Paxton Lynch has the best chance, and I think I stand by what I said on the last podcast before you guys laughed me out. I think we're going to see every single Broncos quarterback on the depth chart, even Chad Kelly, by the end of the year, play at least one quarter.
Two different thoughts real quick. One, do I think he will take them to a Super Bowl? No, I don't. But should they keep him another season? Yes, I do think they should because I do agree this is partly on John Elway. He should. The Peyton Manning thing was the whole problem. That's actually how we're here because they could have been developing quarterback and they did not. They thought Brock Osweiler was the deal and he definitely wasn't the deal. Secondly, to take it to the who should start. I do agree with you, Paxton Lynch, because I don't think you can go back to
Trevor Siemian.
Yeah, I can't believe I don't think you can go back to him now that you've benched him, because you're telling him that he's done, that he just isn't starting caliber.
If Paxton Lynch flames out, I could see them cycling back to him.
Yeah, but I don't think they should. I think you should. I agree with you. Maybe they should go to Chad Kelly if Paxton Lynch isn't what they want when it comes time to start him. But this season can be scrapped because they're done. They're completely done. You might as well just see what you have and kind of let them practice or whatever. Because the Broncos, there's no chance.
Well, let's stop wasting time on a team that has no chance at the playoffs and focus on a team that at this point really looks like they may have locked down a playoff spot. And I believe that that team is the New Orleans Saints. I think that they played a fantastic game today against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think that they won in a different way. They won with special teams, a block punt for a touchdown. They won with some Alvin Kamara screen passes. They won with Drew Brees. They won with the defense. Lattimore finally gave up a catch, which is like insane that that's his first catch ever given up in the NFL, more than a half year through. Jameis Winston got hurt, and I think he may or may not, I think he may have gotten benched, honestly, and started a fight on the sideline. This game had a little bit of everything, but let's start with the Saints.
Except what, Tampa Bay offense, there was none of that.
Yeah. Let's start with the Saints for you, Chris. What do you take away from this game for them?
I was never a buyer into the New Orleans Saints. I just wasn't. I just didn't think they had the talent on offense. But Drew Brees has proven us wrong this season. And I don't know. And it's maybe more of the Saints defense, because the Saints defense is actually half decent this year, which is unusual. Who would have thought the worst defense in the NFL last year that didn't really look like they improved too much come into the season that maybe a middle of the pack defense, which seems about right at this point. But for me, Drew Brees played a really good game today, and they had a run game, and Tampa Bay just, as they have all season, that's why they're 2-6. They just haven't shown up for a game. Quarterbacks just play terribly. It's just everything. There's a mess in that Tampa Bay organization. It's just a mess.
They're 2-6. I got a question for you.
Sure.
Ryan Fitzpatrick played pretty well today. They're done. Do you bench Jameis Winston for the year? Do you just let him figure out? He obviously has a hurt shoulder. He's still, I think, kind of maturing into a leader. Do you give Ryan Fitzpatrick the reins for the rest of the year at this point?
If you know he's injured, and you know it's not gonna help the team, then you start Ryan Fitzpatrick. If you don't think he's injured, and it's something with his psyche or whatever it may be, you sit him down for a couple of games. Or you wait a couple, or you may wait a game or two more, and then see if the team is doing a little better, and you see a chance that, which they're not gonna, they're not even gonna go 500. This team will have a losing record. They're not going to the playoffs. They're completely done, and it's quite obvious. But at this point, it's tough. If I knew he was injured, I'd say yes. You sit him now. Might as well sit him now for the rest of the season. But if you don't know he's injured, then you can't sit them. You just can't bench them. What do you think?
I think that even if he's healthy, I think you put Ryan Fitzpatrick in, because against Arizona and against the Saints, he's shown that he can move the ball and score more points than Jameis Winston can. But that's an overreaction.
That's fair. That's fair at this point in the season.
The season's done. I think you need to send a message to Jameis Winston that he needs to grow up. And I think you need to bench him no matter what. I even if he comes back a little bit later this season, I think injury or not, you need to bench him. Speaking of benchings, you might as well just bench the entire New York Jets defense, because they got blown out by the Los Angeles Rams. To be honest with you, I saw the Rams winning this game. I did not see them dropping 50 points on the Giants.
I didn't either.
I think I said on Friday's show that I thought Jared Goff needed a game to get back and kind of show us that he still exists and he's still a fun young quarterback, and he totally did that. He threw for 4 touchdowns. He had a career day. He marched up and down the field. Todd Gurley had a great day. Goff threw for 311 yards. He only completed 14 passes, and he was still able to put up over 300 yards. That's insane. And I'll just go in overall statement here. The AFC is done. You need to stop watching the AFC, because it's the Patriots. The Chiefs have fallen off. I'm ready to say that the Chiefs can't beat the Patriots, and I'm ready to say that the Steelers can't either. It's time to get to the NFC because, let me tell you, I think there are – let's count them off. I think the New Orleans Saints, I think the Carolina Panthers, I think the Seattle Seahawks, I think the Washington Redskins, I think the Dallas Cowboys, I think the LA Rams, and I'm sure there's one or two more, but I think that those six teams could all make the conference finals if they were playing at their very best.
And Washington couldn't, realistically. Come on. Washington
fell. I think they could. I think they could. Their defense held down Seattle, and I think that their offense was able to move the ball enough. I think that realistically, pretty much any team that is in first or second place in their division, in that league, right now, could make the conference finals. Maybe.
And then there's,
yeah.
There's even some third place teams that might, that could come back in the 4-4 team, some of them. The Falcons, if they improve on offensive and
yeah, I could see the Falcons making the NFC Championship game.
Or at least having a shot.
Oh, and I forgot that the eighth team at this point, the Minnesota Vikings, I think they could definitely make it there too. We forget about them because they're on bye, but rumor has it that Teddy Bridgewater might start next week. So it's really getting exciting in the NFC right now.
The point is the NFC is a stacked conference as far as teams that could contend. They have so many teams. Like that conference is going to be so interesting to watch and see how it plays out for the rest of the season. And then I think, to be honest, the wild card has the best chance in this division or in this conference to make the conference finals. Whatever two teams come out as the conference or the wild cards, they have the best chance out of the two conferences for one of them to come out and possibly make a Super Bowl. I'm not saying for sure, but I'm saying that.
Why do you say the wild card team specifically? I'm not disagreeing. Because, I'm just interested to hear your thinking on that.
Because there's so many teams that right now that look like they're good enough to make a conference finals. I'm saying that. Say we're talking about New Orleans is probably going to win the NFC South. I could see Atlanta going into a wild card, and then if their offense is better, playing better by then, I could see them knocking off some teams and making it to the conference finals.
Yeah, I see your point. I think that's ultimately a correct point. We don't want to spend too much more time on this game, but I mean, Jared Goff looked great. The Rams looked great. They're 6-2, and I think the biggest thing for me is the Seahawks lost. So now they're really atop that division. They're the team to beat right now.
Well, for me, this isn't about the Rams. We already knew the Rams were legit. I didn't expect them to put up this kind of blowout, but this is about the Giants. The Giants need to clean house. This is what this comes down to. That organization is a mess. Not as they're more of a mess than Tampa Bay is.
They're 0-4 at home.
That's what I mean. Tampa Bay has talent. The Giants have no talent on offense whatsoever. Well, no, it's injured right now. We can say they have talent. They just that offensive line has been a mess for 5 years. They just need to clean house because this is unacceptable. Giants fans should be the Giants front office should be ashamed that this has happened for 5 years. This is a flat-out embarrassment.
I agree. I was thinking about the exact same thing. I saw Ben McAdoo's post-game press conference, and they were like, what did you say to the team at halftime? And he just kind of gave them a shrug like, I mean, what do you want me to say? Like, that is a coaching staff that has lost confidence. They have been given – he has been given a chance to make this offense great. People forget he was the offensive coordinator under Coughlin when the offense was struggling. He's been there for like 5 years. It's time to get rid of McAdoo. It's time to bring in new people. I agree.
Well, for me, it doesn't even come down to that because this is the front office fault. I mean, my goodness, 5 years and you ain't had an offensive line, And I've seen no improvement. And last year, I thought about it. I was like, well, they did go 10-6 and make a wild card, but the offense was still trash. If their defense took them to the wild card spot, and they got knocked out by Green Bay. They got embarrassed, I believe. But for me, like I said, this is just unacceptable. They're not going to get better. As long as that front office is in control, they're not going to a Super Bowl. They're not going to the playoffs. They're going to be a 4-win at best team.
Yep. Moving on to the Jaguars and the Bengals. A game that really you thought would be the Jaguars coming back down to earth. I said they could win this game. They did. They did what I thought they'd do without Leonard Fournette. Which I think that's the most impressive thing about this win. I don't get the suspension, like, at all. Like, he missed a team photo, so you're going to suspend, like, one of your best offensive players for a game? I don't know. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
I think there was something else going on that we don't know about. There has to be. Come on. I mean, you don't suspend him for missing a photo shot. And actually, I did read that this was more than that. Apparently, he has missed several appointments for the team, missed several team, I don't think it was team meetings, but team activities. So I guess if you're trying to prove a point, maybe. I just still don't. I don't know. Maybe it's the wrong time. But they won the game, so.
Well, it certainly wasn't because the offense dominated against a, let's give them credit, the Bengals had a good defense coming into this game. And let's give him credit for once. I don't think I'd ever be saying this, but right now with the way that the quarterbacks are gone in the NFL, Blake Bortles is playing like a top 20 NFL quarterback, and he's not going to win you games on his own, but he's not making killer mistakes. He's moving the ball down the field, and he's throwing touchdowns, and he's got a defense to back him up. And, I mean, for a team that said they might be done with him by the end of preseason and that we were predicting wouldn't even make the team this season, he's done very, very well.
Yeah, I'm shocked. Well, to be honest, I expected another fall off this year. But his stat line was the same exact as Matt Ryan's. So today, I mean, doesn't mean a whole lot, but I'm just saying that his stat line was the same. He had a, like, 200-something yards.
259 yards and a touchdown. Yes. No interception.
And the quarterback rating between him and Matt Ryan, like I said, this doesn't mean a whole lot, but it was 85.5. So this is shocking, to be honest. I never expected the Jaguars to be 5-3 at this point in the season. I thought they'd be well done, but right now they look like they're well on their way to winning the division.
I wouldn't say the division yet just because, and we'll just blend the two games together, the Titans won today. Their offense looked a lot better than it has in the past. I think Marcus Mariota is getting healthy. But I'm really excited to see those two teams, basically, from now to the end of the year. I think one of those two teams is going to make the playoffs with, like, a weird record, like an 8-8 or a 9-7 record. I think that the Jaguars are bound to lose one or two straight games coming up, and I'm really excited to see how the division kind of plays out.
Well, if you look at their schedule is not hard. They have Chargers. That's a iffy game. Browns, they're going to win that game. That's a lot. Yeah. The Cardinals, that's a lot, in my opinion. The Colts, this is an easy schedule, in my opinion. Then you have Texans, 49ers.
I think the Colts could upset them.
I think this is a 9-10 win team. Right now, based on what we've seen, it looks like a 10-win team to me, in my opinion. Of course, they're not. They've been kind of inconsistent. They've gotten a little more consistent as of late, but I've seen some inconsistencies in this team. I will admit that, but I would say the team in general looks like a 10-win team.
Here's my question for you. Of course, they're not as good as the New England Patriots. The New England Patriots are far and above the best team in the conference. But we always have that second tier of teams in the conference, like the Chiefs and the Steelers. Are the Jaguars like a second tier team right
now? No, not yet. I'm not ready to say that yet because we're midway through the season.
They destroyed the Steelers. How can I think overall they're a better team than the Steelers.
Defense, they're a top three team in the they're top three defensive team. They are, in my opinion. I know they didn't annihilate Steelers. They beat them, but it wasn't like a blowout.
It was.
Never mind. The score has been so long ago. Yeah.
Really only 2 weeks, but God, that feels like a long time.
Oh, 2 weeks. That was like 4 weeks. It's been like 4 weeks. But anyway, I feel like the Steelers were not in form back then. I think they're starting to come into form as we speak. Of course, they've won their past three, but that like I said, just because you win three games in a row doesn't mean we don't know who you played. So if you played some teams that are awful, then that means absolutely nothing. But I think they're starting to come into form. Their offense hasn't quite clicked yet. People are saying it has, but I'm telling you right now, it hasn't, because they have enough talent to be the best offense in the NFL. Times two. I mean, they have that much talent. It's just, for one, the offensive line isn't that great, in my opinion. It's just my opinion. But I still would put the Steelers ahead of the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right. Let's move on to our next matchup in the NFC, between an NFC team and an AFC team, the Cowboys and the Chiefs. And the Chiefs lost this game 28-17. Dak Prescott had a great day. I just finished watching the highlights of this game. I had to leave the house to go listen to a Requiem, which I would not recommend to anyone. Long and boring. If you like singing and music and church, you'll like it. But kind of boring, a little bit yawn-inducing. But I got some good Greek food out of it at the end. Happy about that. But moving on, the Chiefs and the Cowboys, Dak Prescott had, in my opinion, his best game of the year. He looked like a top 10 quarterback this game. I know he does in every game, but even with Zeke Elliott in there, I think this game, as far as games where I have confidence in the Cowboys, I think this game proved to me that if Ezekiel Elliott goes out, the Cowboys can win 3 to 4 games.
Yeah, I would certainly. But this came down. It came down to, we finally saw a pass rush from Dallas, a legit pass rush that makes them a real threat for getting to your quarterback. Alex Smith got sacked 2 times, but he got hurried more often than that. He got hurried at least 5 or 6 times. That I noticed, and I watched over half the game, but like I said, I noticed the pass rush that I haven't seen yet all season. Like, and their secondary stepped up today better than I thought it would.
Yeah, I have a question for you. What are your thoughts on the Chiefs?
For me, this was a mismatch because of the scheme. We knew Dallas was going to run over the Kansas City Chiefs because the Kansas City Chiefs are just not a good run defense. They don't have they have the talent, in my opinion, but that's not their scheme. That's just not. For me, this Alex Smith finally threw his first interception, but it was bound to happen. Quarterbacks aren't going to be absolutely perfect. They're just not. I mean, and for me, this doesn't say a whole lot about the Chiefs. It tells me that they're not beating those New England Patriots. But I knew that from the get go when they were 5-0 or whatever they were. 4-0. This doesn't tell me a whole lot about the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah, I think for me, it tells me that they are not as good as we thought they were. I mean, they have dropped here. After their hot start, they've really kind of faltered. And Alex Smith, for the first time, really played like old Alex Smith. Do you think that's fair to say?
No, I don't, because we still saw we still saw the Alex Smith that we've seen this season up to now. He's not an MVP candidate. He's just, at this point, I would consider him that. But we did notice at the end of the half, when we saw lazy defense, but that wasn't really Alex Smith, so that was one of his touchdowns. That was more Tyreek Hill being so fast that he's just not going to get tackled, and it was lazy defense. That and his other I saw passes that weren't just dink and dunk. He didn't look like the game manager that we normally see, but he definitely doesn't look like he has up to now, or he did in week 1, 2, and 3.
Where is Kareem Hunt? That's what I want to know. Like, he hasn't had a big game since, I want to say, week 4.
Well, Dallas's defensive line is legit, and I didn't expect them to have an excellent game.
But they're not. Because they've been bullied by everyone else. Like, maybe is it the Dallas defensive line, or is it the Chiefs' offensive line? Is it the,
you can go that far. And you can't go. I would say you can go that far. I think Dallas' defensive line is better than what we've made it out to be. I think they did a really good job containing Kareem Hunt. But really, you have a valid point. Their offensive line is not as good as advertised, but I wouldn't blame it all on the offensive line. I think the Dallas defense put up a really, really good game today.
Moving on to a defensive game that we thought was going to be a shootout. The Seahawks and the Redskins. The Redskins, a dramatic last-second drive to win the game. The Seahawks offense really didn't show up until the last 10 minutes of the fourth quarter, and that it wasn't necessarily too late, but Earl Thomas was out of this game, surprisingly, for some reason at the beginning, and Kirk Cousins really exploited that down the stretch, and suddenly the Redskins have gone from a team that we were saying they're probably not making the playoffs to a team right back in the mix, and the Seahawks have gone from the best team in the NFC back to what they looked like in week 3.
Yeah, I never really considered them the best team. I thought when they made the trade with Houston, I thought they got better, although we didn't notice that today. That offense.
I thought Dwayne Brown played well. I'll give him that. I watched the first two quarters of the game, and I focused in on Dwayne Brown when I was watching. He gave up no sacks, not a lot of pressure. It was really the rest of the line. But
yeah,
they couldn't run the ball, which I thought that it would improve the running game, that trade, but it didn't at all, and that really hurt them.
They're going to need another offensive lineman, probably a right tackle, because I just – apparently that wasn't enough, and I thought it would be enough to make it a little better, but clearly it wasn't because, I mean, and even looking at the score, they scored a safety, and that was defensively. They had zero offensive points till the fourth quarter. You cannot go three quarters without scoring a point and expect to win a football game. You just can't. And that's what it came down to today. It was too late. I know you said it was their offense showed up a little too late. It wasn't a little too late, but it was too late because they should have scored something in the first, second, and third quarters. You can't go zero through three quarters and expect to win a football game.
I think you've also got to put a little bit of this on the defense. You can't let a team that you've been shutting down a whole game you can't let the receiver that they drafted, who has been letting them down all year, break free and make a game-changing catch. Josh Doctson, like, everyone was so disappointed in him, and he came through big today. I'll give him credit for that, but Seattle can't let that happen.
I disagree with you because it's bound to happen. You're not going to play perfect throughout the whole game. Their offense surely did.
But when it counts to shut it down, you have to be able to rely on your defense.
But when it comes down to it, when it came down to it, their offense scored 0 points through the three quarters. Who is going to win if I don't care if you score 20 points in one quarter. If you don't score another three quarters, you're probably not going to win. Now, granted, I mean, they would have in today, but in most cases, they wouldn't have because their offense, their defense is not the same defense as it was. Their offense has to show up somehow, or my prediction of them going to the Super Bowl is flat out wrong. It is. If I see another game that looks this bad against a team that's mediocre, I'm going to be worried. Next week, example, if they go in the Arizona and don't look decent, I know Arizona's defense is legit. It's, well, half legit. I'll say half legit. They're not the best. They're not top 10, but they're pretty good. But if they don't show up next week, then I'm going to start writing them off.
Yes, and last game, really, there's 1:36 left in the fourth. Doesn't really look like the Dolphins will be able to come back, though. They're down by more than one score with the ball, so we'll just kind of get talking to it. This is, of course, assuming that the Raiders win. The Raiders will move to 4-5 with a 27-16 win over the Dolphins, who will fall to 4-4 and continue to look not great. The Raiders, though, suddenly after the Chiefs lost today, suddenly the AFC West minus the Broncos seems wide open again. Like, the Chargers are right back in it. The Raiders are right back in it. Do you think either one of those teams can catch up with Kansas City? They're only a game back at this point.
And you're talking about between the Chargers and the Raiders?
Raiders, yeah.
Okay, I thought you said Broncos. I was like, no. We talked about that earlier. They're done. Oakland's been so inconsistent.
Yeah.
First, when they played the Chiefs, we thought, oh, they're back in the division. Oh, they might win this division. The Raiders are back to being the Raiders. And then look what we saw in Buffalo. Yeah. Buffalo has a good defense. They have a top 10 defense, definitely. I would argue top 5, but possibly. I'm just saying for. But they just. I haven't seen enough. And we know the Dolphins are the Dolphins. This isn't shocking. We knew the Dolphins were going to lose this game. That's why we said this is an ugly week, because these are outcomes we knew were coming, except for the Washington-Seattle game, which should have been on a primetime game, in my opinion. I would have rather watched that than this ugly stuff that I didn't watch, but some people had to witness.
The Dolphins did just score a touchdown. It's 22-27.
They're still done. Do they have three time? How many timeouts do they have? Is my question.
I don't know exactly, but I can find out. The Chargers, though, I know how you feel about the Chargers generally, but
yeah.
Do you think they have a chance to get back in?
They do, because the division just is going downhill. At 3-5, I don't think the team, I don't think they have the talent or the team or the, I just think they're mediocre. So talent and everything else wise, I don't think they have a chance, but realistically, they do have somewhat of a chance because, their schedule isn't that much harder than, any other team in this division. Except for the Broncos. The Broncos have the hardest schedule out of this division. That's why they're done.
Right. The Dolphins are out of timeouts. If they kick the extra points, so now they're only down by three, so we'll talk a little bit longer, and if they get the onside kick, this could get exciting. But say the Dolphins win this game. Jay Cutler, 34-42. Wow. Why?
How do you lose a game? How do you lose
this Jay Cutler stat line, dude, is insane. And I might just have to apologize to Miami and Jay Cutler in general. Like, Jay Cutler has 311 yards and three touchdowns, which is insane. That's like a career day for him.
Yeah, that's one of his best days. And maybe this is a sign of what I told you earlier. Our offense is about to start.
I don't know. I don't think they'll win more games than the Chargers still. But I think my views of them maybe losing out are certainly not unfounded. I think they will. Derek Carr, 300 yards, one touchdown, one interception. Marshawn Lynch, though, has 57 yards and two touchdowns.
Yeah.
And that is how the Raiders are moving this game. They're moving the ball into the red zone and scoring with Lynch. Kenyon Drake, nine carries for 69 yards for Miami. Apparently, they don't miss Jay Ajayi.
No, they don't.
What if getting rid of Jay Ajayi sparks the Miami offense? That'd be crazy.
But it seems like it has, at least in this game. Of course, they've only been without one game, but remember, they did have a 10 days off. But at the same time, we look at it, do we consider the Raiders' defense half decent?
No. They're a bad defense.
No, so that's what I mean. We have to wait and see on that one. They go to Carolina next week. That'll be the start of how we're able to see, is this Miami offense starting to at least halfway click? This happened last season, though, if you really look at it. They didn't lose 40 to nothing to Baltimore, but they did start hitting when they went to Tennessee and started winning. But you do that. If they somehow pull this one out of Oakland, which they shouldn't. I don't know. Has the onside went off yet? Actually,
it has not yet. But while we're waiting for that, we will be back on Friday probably.
It just went off. Miami will lose 24-27.
So we'll be back probably Friday, probably no Tuesday show this week. We'll take a nice kind of early week vacation, unless Chris does will there be a college football show this week?
Yeah, I'm not 100% sure yet. I think there will be, but I can't say 100% sure because, last week. So
stay tuned.
Stay tuned. Right now I'm going to say probably, but we're going to have a special guest on if there is a show. He's been on before, but I'll keep y'all surprised till then.
Awesome. Well, the Dolphins will lose just barely, but a good game for Jay Cutler. We've covered literally every game of the week on a Sunday night. So good for us. We're going to take a week and celebrate. And you can follow Chris on Twitter at ChrisBSF, me on Twitter at Eric18Utah, Endzone Podcast on Twitter at Endzone Pod. And just noted that we did not cover 49ers, Cardinals, or really Colts, Texans. Let me just give you a brief rundown. Jacoby Brissett, Bala, had a great day. Adrian Peterson, Bala, had a great day. And pretty much what we kind of expected from those two games.
For Houston Texans, I definitely lost confidence in any chance of them going anywhere. They looked done. The Colts, well, that game was kind of meaningless. Between two teams that were done.
Yeah. Well, again, follow us on Twitter. Follow the Endzone Podcast on Twitter at Endzone Pod. Subscribed on whatever music system you use to listen to podcasts, the Endzone Podcast. Send in questions. Maybe at some point we'll do a mailbag thing, whatever. Go check out the Grand Slam Podcast because they gave me a nice little shout out on their last episode. So go check out Travis and Josh, they do a great job with basketball. No, baseball, I mean. We may have our first ever basketball recap episode. We are not just football here. I feel like there's a way to rebrand this so that End Zone Pod is like the overall like sports bureau, but we have like
Especially
different
in the off
sports.
season. Especially in
Yeah.
the off season.
Well, that'll do it. We'll see you back here on Friday to preview the Week 10 games. Peace out.